with another broadcast of Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and today is an open mic Friday, February the 19th in the year of our Lord, 2016. What does that mean? That means you can take over the mic in asking a question, making a comment, hopefully of a theological nature, and I will try and reply to that. One of the numbers to phone, if in St. Louis, 821-0850. But toll-free, anywhere in North America, including St. Louis, 1-800-730-2727. What did he say? A person who thinks only about building walls and not building bridges is not Christian. This is not the gospel. Wow. Who said that? Some dictator? Some really left Democrat? No, the Pope said it about Donald Trump. And properly, Trump came back and said, no leader, especially a religious leader, should have the right to question another man's religion or faith. It's one of the reasons why we in the Lutheran Church really try to be careful about not getting politics mixed up with religion, because people aren't going to listen to you when you speak religion if your political points of view they don't agree with. But we're going to go right to the phone lines right now and speak with Carol. Carol, you're first on the air.
Hi. Yesterday you were talking, a woman from Poland had emailed about with questions about how God could send people to hell.
Yes.
Well, here's my thought on that. If being in heaven is being in the complete presence of God, and if being in hell is being in the complete absence of God, wouldn't being in heaven be a true hell for someone who rejected and hated God?
There's no doubt that hell is the place that people choose to go to because they don't believe in God. I'd like to maybe make just a small correction. God is omnipresent, so he also is in hell. However, he's not in hell in his mercy and grace. He's in hell according to his wrath and justice. And you are absolutely correct that, can you imagine the Pharisees who did not believe in Jesus being forced to go to heaven when they don't? You make an excellent point. That's really good. For them, that would be hell. And I'm almost sure, and I've heard people say this, that, boy, if going to heaven means I have to worship Jesus, I prefer to go to hell. Mm. Excellent point.
Thank you.
Good thinking. Thank you so very much. And other good thinkers may call us at 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. What Carol is talking about is a lady from Poland had written to me an email. Cannot understand how, if God is so loving and caring, how he could be watching people suffer eternally. That was an excellent question, because I think, I've said it a number of times, it's easy to believe in heaven. That's a wonderful place to go to. It's far more difficult to believe in hell. It's not that hell is just 4 or 5 days where you suffer, but according to the Bible, it's an eternity of suffering. And so yesterday, if you want to hear our answers that Wes Reimnitz and I were trying to provide, you can go to the archive section and listen to the February 18th, 2016 broadcast of Law and Gospel. In fact, you can go there and get quite a few of the broadcasts. So if you're all interested in knowing what we have been saying in the past, say you're new to KFUO, well, there are a number of archives, and Law and Gospel is one of them. So what we've been talking about, or started with, did the Pope have the right to say that Donald Trump is not Christian because of his desire to put up a wall? Well, as many people have pointed out, 3/4 of the Vatican is surrounded by a wall. But I think to be kind of fair to the Pope, he said it's one thing to put up a wall, and he was also saying it's unchristian not to have some dialogue or some way of trying to reach out to those that you're putting up the wall against. So I know it's a difficult kind of a situation, but it shows how much trouble a religious leader can get into when he messes in the area of politics. Part of the problem here is that there are biblical principles that the government should follow, particularly in the area of morality. So we in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod are very pro-life, 6-day, 24-hour creation, against homosexuality, seeing it as the abomination which God says it is. And a lot of people will say, hey, you're getting politics mixed up. No. What we're not going to say is we're not going to point to somebody and say, we know for sure that person is going to hell because of his views. This is really important to understand. In fact, I had a conversation about that at a Bible study recently. I said, yes, there are definitely views that are contrary to God's word. But when a person holds to them, it doesn't necessarily mean that person is going to hell, because God can read the heart. See, what needs to happen when you hear somebody who has false teaching is you need to try to explain to them what the true teaching is. And they finally get to a point where they've had enough understanding, and if they still reject it, then they're practicing that unrepentant sin and hell may be their home. But I've often used the illustration of a court. You have a jury. You have a judge. The jury decides guilt or innocent. The judge decides the sentence. Christians are allowed to be juries. We're not allowed to be a judge. That is to say, we can look at someone's lifestyle and say, that is sin, and it needs to be repented of. And in fact, God has given us the right of excommunication to deal with people who do not repent of such sin. What we cannot say is, therefore, you're going to hell. Because we also are sinners. And if sin is the criterion for going to hell, then all of us would be on our way to hell. But that's not correct. Because through repentance and faith in Jesus, that sin can be forgiven. So don't hesitate to call. Numbers in St. Louis, as I said, are 821-0850. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. And let's go talk to our good friend, Mike. You're on the air. How you doing, Mike?
Good. How about yourself?
Good.
Yeah, I was listening to what you were talking about. You know, of course, the Pope was criticizing Trump about creating walls or whatever his thing was. But isn't that what Christianity is really about? Because I'm reading in Luke, I think it's chapter 12, verse 51. It says, "Do you think I've come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." So it says, "From now on, a household of five will be divided, 3 against 2, and 2 against 3. So, I mean, really he was preaching anti-Christianity, the Pope, wasn't he?
Well, I'm not going to go that far. First of all, he didn't speak English, and I rarely trust translations on the part of the Pope. I think the best thing you could say is the Pope was saying this: if you put up a wall and don't care about the people and have no way of dialoguing with them or talking with them, that's not Christian. That may be somewhat correct, but I'll tell you, every Roman Catholic who has built a fence around their yard, according to the Pope, therefore, is not a Christian.
Hmm.
So good points, Mike, and I appreciate your call.
Okay.
All righty, and we're just going to go down the line now and talk with Sue. Sue, you're on the air.
Hi. Good morning, Pastor Baker. How are you?
Very good.
Good. Love your law and gospel.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. I just wanted to make a comment about an atheist being in hell if they go to heaven. I would like to comment that That's arrogance, I think, not to berate that lady, but God's hand is in every single human being's life. He provides our every need. And to think that we, by our own reason and strength, can do anything is completely wrong in my mind. And I think when you go to hell, that's complete separation from God in his loving, caring hand. And that's what devastation in hell is going to be. Because God provides our every need, whether we believe in him or not. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you've got Bible verses to back up what you said. Remember, the rain falls on the fields of the believers as well as those of the unbelievers. When it's raining and I'm driving down the highway, all of a sudden it doesn't stop raining at the end of the field of a believer. No. So your point is exactly correct on what you're trying to get across there. The fact of the matter is, though, is that when we talk about hell as the absence of God's mercy and grace, a person who is in hell will not therefore experience the love of God. And one of the things that was interesting, I can't remember the writer who did this, but if you want to get into hell, the door is locked. But if you want to get out, the door is unlocked. But nobody wants to get out.
Mm. Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes, very powerful.
Sure is.
Well, thank you for your comments. I really appreciate them, as always, and God bless.
You too, Sue. Thanks for calling. And anybody else can call. Numbers are 1-800-730-2727. Boy, we got some pretty good callers coming on today. Issues, etc., always is bragging about having the smartest callers. But boy, I tell you, some of the other programs on KFUO will get some pretty wise callers. You're wise not only in your making comments, but also in your questions. I believe that email that we received from the lady in Poland was very astute in asking the question that I think is on a lot of people's minds. You know, how can I be in heaven and be totally in bliss knowing that maybe somebody I knew pretty well is not in heaven? And that's going to be important to understand. And so you can tune into yesterday's broadcast at this point. You can also call 1-800-730-2727. And we'll go and speak now with Marilyn. Marilyn, you're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor.
Hi.
I'm at Romans 13, where it's talking about civil government.
Yes.
And in part, it tells us that this person is our people, whatever, are the servants, that they are God's servants, and that we need to obey the authority and not rebel against it. But by the same token, when he's talking about the workers of all kind, he says to us that we should serve wholeheartedly if you're serving the Lord, and that the Lord will be, and that is Ephesians, that the Lord will indeed reward everyone for whatever good he does. My question is, from the civil servant to the worker, or to the slave and workers, that they kind of go against each other. I don't know that they go against each other. I'm just concerned. God is in control. I understand that.
Right.
We just heard all of this about Beelzebub and the demons and everything on the radio. Is it possible that people who are the head rulers, so to speak, that perhaps those demons might be there, and that we as people of this nation can rebel by what they're trying to do?
Okay, let me respond to that, Marilyn. I appreciate the question. The fact of the matter is that in Romans 13, you are correct that it says that the governing authorities, he is the servant of God. But he doesn't have to be a Christian, because what is he doing as a servant? He serves God in avenging those who break the law. And you can have, therefore, even an atheist as the president of the United States if he follows the Constitution and bylaws appropriately and does punish those. So we're not talking here about the same thing as a believer who does good works on behalf of Jesus Christ. You do not have to believe in Jesus Christ in order to be a good government official. The fact of the matter is God institutes who he puts into the government, and sometimes he allows people to be in there to bring discipline upon the people who are disobeying God's will. But being a servant doesn't mean that you believe in Jesus Christ. It just means that your particular vocation is one through which God works in bringing judgment upon those who need to receive that judgment. Let's go on to the next person. Hello, Roland. You're on the air.
Well, Pastor Baker, the Bible study
yes.
this morning. 2,000 demons. How did this man get 2,000 demons? How do you do that?
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you talking about the Bible study that...
Yeah, it was on at 9 o'clock.
Okay, I did not hear that. But did they say there were 2,000 demons?
Well, it was a legion, and it was 2,000 pigs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's the one who went into the pigs. Okay, now, what's your specific question again, please?
Well, how does a person acquire 2,000 or a legion of demons?
Yes. There's no doubt that there is demonic possession, and why God allows some people to undergo that, we do not know. But I have said for a long time, Roland, that no one who is a Christian ever received demonic possession in the Bible. These were unbelievers who then became believers when the demons were exorcised. But as to why some people actually get demons and they're just not psychologically ill, the Bible doesn't really answer that. But God still gives a wonderful promise to us that he will never leave the Christian, forsake the Christian. And also, remember, the Christian never is going to receive any more temptation than he is able to overcome. And demonic possession, it appears to me, would be something he could not overcome. And so that's why I say, if you're a Christian, don't worry about demonic possession.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All righty. And boy, we'll just go down the line. Herman, you're on the air.
Thank you, Pastor Baker. You mentioned earlier that like with the transfiguration, if Jesus, the Son of God, it's a pre-creation plan of the Holy Trinity that Jesus will become incarnate and die on the cross, it would also entail that he would rise from the dead on the third day, even before creation began. Would that be correct?
That is exactly what the Bible says again and again. In fact, and I know you're a Christian, Herman, we're predestined before the creation. All you have to do is read the first chapter of Ephesians to find that out. So God, in his infinite wisdom, the Trinity, not only made plans for the second person to become incarnate and die on the cross and rise from the dead, but also you were part of the elect from before the foundation of the world.
Thank you, Pastor Baker.
Thank you so very much for calling. Anybody else can call, although we're just about running out of time. I had another item that I was going to get to if we didn't have callers, but boy, Carolyn, Mike, and Sue, Marilyn, Roland, and Herman. And so we got time maybe for one more quick call at 1-800-730-2727. Give some details this weekend. I'm preaching at Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farm. That's out on Highway 94. Just cross on 370, the Missouri River. Get off on the first exit, and you'll drive down to Highway 94. Turn left, go 5 miles, and the church is there on the left. At 8 o'clock in the morning and 10:30 also. By the way, I'll also be preaching there this coming Wednesday for the Lenten service. And then we're going to also have a Bible study on Thursday night. We were talking last night about, is it true, once saved, always saved? I had 6 pages of Bible verses to show that that is incorrect, that people can fall from the faith. And then we gave, of course, the assurance there. And then on Tuesday, by the way, at Emmanuel Lutheran in Olivet, 9733 Olive Boulevard, at 11 a.m. Tuesday, we're going to be talking about the what's referred to as the parable of the Good Samaritan. I'm really looking forward to that because a lot of people misunderstand that. It's not what we would normally consider, in my view, as a kingdom parable. But I used to say it wasn't even a parable because I thought all parables really were about the kingdom of God. But my good friend, Dr. James Veltz, corrected me on that. And he's even written a book about it. You know, what does this mean? Concordia Publishing House, you can get a copy of that. By the way, somebody had called me and they were interested in books on baptism. There's no doubt that Concordia Publishing House has some great works. One is by David Scare. Another is by a theologian. The last name is Das, D-A-S. That's particularly on infant baptism. And then there's also a tract, but I don't think Concordia Publishing sells it. I'm not sure how you can get this one, by Joachim Jeremias. He is an expert in the Aramaic language because, remember, Jesus did not speak Greek. So when somebody asks me, what translation do you like? I always say, well, the Greek New Testament. And they say, well, that's not a translation. I say, yes, it is. Because everything that Jesus spoke basically was in Aramaic. And sometimes it's so important, the Aramaic, that they actually put it in the Greek text. Like the word for God Jesus uses is Abba. That's kind of best translated, not so much as father, but as daddy. It's a very intimate term that a little girl would say. And then remember when he's on the cross, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. That's Aramaic for my God, why have you forsaken me? And most people think that Jesus' words in the Aramaic are printed there because the people around the cross think he's calling for Elijah. But he says Eloi, Eloi, not Eli, Eli. But, you know, the words are close, so maybe they got misunderstood. Not all scholars agree with that interpretation of why that is there. But it's basically there because it's a fulfillment of Psalm 22. If you read Psalm 22, that's how the psalm begins. My God, why have you forsaken me? And this was often read in the synagogues. To me, it's just remarkable that people hear Jesus say that and no lights go on. You know, oh, maybe this is the Messiah. No, those who were crucifying him did not believe that, except finally for one man, the centurion, where after Jesus gave up the ghost, he decided to die when he wanted to die, which, of course, is impossible for any human being to do who's not divine, because God alone has power over life and death. The centurion said, truly, this was the Son of God. And that's a tremendous confession, because that title was only to be used for Caesar. And a soldier, to take that title and apply it to somebody else, he was putting his life in his hands when he said that. But he said it because he had come to faith. There's a movie about that. But, of course, a lot of that is speculation because we have no idea what happened to that centurion. But we're hoping to meet him in heaven. We're going to have some great conversations in heaven. There's just no doubt about that. As indicated on Monday, do you know that God may hold you responsible for somebody falling into sin? What does that mean? Does that mean you may not go to heaven? We're going to be talking about that on Monday because it's part of the reading for the third Sunday in Lent. Remember, on Mondays, we kind of look at the readings. Tuesday, we'll have Mark Smith on again for a take a look at one of the hymns, the main hymn for this coming third Sunday. 2 days from now is the second Sunday in Lent, but on Monday, we're talking about the third Sunday in Lent, as well as on Tuesday with the hymns. Wednesday, Insight Wednesday. Thursday, Ruminations with Wes Reimnitz. And then back again to Friday, Open Mic Friday. I'm Tom Baker. Till Monday, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.